also have, I'm certified brain injury specialist. So that is a specialized certificate that makes me uniquely qualified to work with patients that have brain injury. I understand how the brain works and how the best treatments to heal the brain work. And I'm also a vital stim provider. That is something that cannot be done over teletherapy because it requires electrodes to be placed on the skin in order to stimulate nerves and muscles. And commonly you see that working with patients that have swallowing difficulties, and people may have swallowing difficulties after a stroke. So that I would caution people if somebody is ever advertising that as part of teletherapy, because you need a qualified professional to work with you in real time, in person for that. And I'm also Lee Silverman Voice Therapy Certified. And Lee Silverman is a program that was developed for patients with Parkinson's disease.
I was just going to ask you about Parkinson's because I heard, I know several people who have had a Parkinson's, and I was told that, well, I know there's speech issues, but also swallowing.
Sure.
And I've heard, I just heard that, learned about that recently.
Right. It depends on a lot of different factors on where they are in the disease progression. Mm-hmm. And swallowing may be one of those issues. And that is certainly something that needs to be taken seriously. There are therapists out there, speech therapists, that specialize in swallowing. And there are tests that need to be done to see which liquid consistencies people handle the best. What kind of food is safe for them to eat. People may have a hard time swallowing water, but they may be able to swallow something that is thicker than water. Yeah. But you need a trained, qualified professional to be able to know that. And so that is actually where speech therapists can deal with life and death issues.
Absolutely.
Because if somebody aspirates on food or a liquid, it will go into their lungs and could ultimately lead to something like pneumonia, which can be deadly.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the Lee Silverman voice therapy is geared towards patients that have Parkinson's that have lost their voice.
Yeah.
And so what I mean by that is oftentimes in Parkinson's, people lose the volume in their voice. And so they will become very quiet. It will be difficult for people to understand them, and they'll often withdraw from those social situations. And they have a very masked face. So they don't have any sort of facial expression. So that in combination with the low volume makes them really difficult to understand and communicate with. And Lee Silverman Voice teaches people to get their loud voice back so that people can hear them and they can become an engaging member of society again. And it's a very proven method that is specifically designed for speech therapists to deliver this to patients with Parkinson's.
That is so interesting. I was we're going to have to close down here pretty soon. But I was on a vacation out of the country last year. I was in a tour group of about 28 people, and one of the fellas and his wife there were saying that he had just been diagnosed with Parkinson's, and his wife made a comment about his facial expression. Now he communicated well. He you know, he got around. He was fine, but that apparently was one factor that has already become evident in his condition.
Right. And that may be something that is more distressing to the family member, like his wife, because she communicates with him. She looks at him when she's communicating. So when we talk about language communication issues, we also have to think about the family and the people that are with the patient or the client, because it affects them too.
Well, we're going to have to let me check the time. It's over here. Okay. Let's we still have a few more minutes, but before just in case we don't get to it, we may get on a roll.
I like to talk.
Well, so just share with people how they can get hold of you or your phone number and all of that.
Sure. My phone number is 908-271-8300.
Okay.
And I have a website. It's www.slevaluationsandteletherapy.com. And teletherapy is spelled T E L E T-H-E-R-A-P-Y. And if you prefer email, you can email me at info@slevaluationsandteletherapy.com.
Okay. Let's give your phone number again one more time.
908-271-8300.
Okay. Now, you do you have an office, or you go out to see clients?
Well, I do not have a brick-and-mortar office location. Okay. However, I usually like to meet clients for the first time in person, and we will set up an agreeable spot to meet in person for that initial evaluation. And I, you know, I can make those arrangements as they're appropriate with patients.
Yeah, today there are a lot of opportunities. Well, there's a lot of shared space.
Yes.
In fact, there's one. I just read about another one recently where you can rent a space for the number of hours you need it, and that beats sitting in a Marriott living area where I've had meetings with people.
Yes.
Hotel down in Bridgewater.
That's a good idea.
I've done that a number of times, but. Yeah, there are places that you can go where you can meet with people,
right?
Or if you can go to their homes,
exactly.
That would be ideal too,
right?
So that's good. So let's see. So with regard to just the I really would like to talk to you some more. Quickly, the process. You meet somebody, calls you. You agree to meet.
Mm-hmm.
So you evaluate them,
right?
And then. What typically would be the next step?
Well, the next step would be I pride myself in evaluating the patient and then having a 1 week turnaround on the evaluation report. And that's really critical because oftentimes you will have to wait many weeks, could be up to a couple of months to get an evaluation report back. And so I will get it back to the person within 1 week.
Okay.
And from there, we discuss the recommendations that I have for moving forward. And maybe that's therapy. And we talk about the frequency of therapy. So should it be 2 times a week? Should it be 5 times a week?
Mm-hmm.
Should it be 1 time?
Okay.
And so I like to work with patients to be able to come to an agreement on that. You know, what's comfortable for them and their time schedule. And then we talk about the goals that we're going to be working towards.
Okay. Well, thank you for this comprehensive explanation of the work that you do, and I'm very impressed with the many ways in which you can help people at all different ages. So, again, we have Casey Gabriel, and her phone number is 908-271-8300. And, folks, I hope you'll listen to this, pass along this information, and a link to the Facebook page where we'll have this live, hopefully. I'm going to take a look at it when I get back to my office tonight. But thank you so much.
Oh, thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you here. And thank you for listening to our program today. I think you'll find this to be worthwhile and to pass along to your friends and relatives. So have a great afternoon, and thank you for being here.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell is going after congressional Democrats, accusing them of dragging Attorney General William Barr's name through the mud.
So now they're slandering a distinguished public servant because the real world has disappointed them. Instead of taking a deep breath and coming back to reality, our colleagues across the aisle want to shoot the messenger and keep the perpetual outrage machine right on going.
On Tuesday, Georgia Republican Governor Brian Kemp signs an abortion bill into law. The LIFE Act bill bans abortions once a fetal heartbeat can be detected, and that can be as early as 6 weeks.
Georgia is a state that values life. We protect the innocent. We champion the vulnerable. We stand up and speak for those unable to speak for themselves.
Similar bills have been passed in states such as Mississippi, Kentucky, and Ohio. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
It's amazing but true. When it comes to one of America's biggest household expenditures, health care, a lot of people think they've got no choice. People are used to thinking we have to do it this way, but they don't. Yes, you have the freedom to choose an alternative with your health care. It's MediShare, and it costs way less than the alternatives. The typical family saves $500 a month. Not a year, a month. And if you're single, this can save you a lot, too. And let's face it, a big reason MediShare is 400,000 people strong, it just works. They've shared over $3 billion in medical bills, so they can help share your needs, too. Joining MediShare for so many people is one of those things that makes you say, why didn't I do this before? So, yes, the time has come for something better. Look into joining MediShare and see why so many people are opting out of the old way and into the new. Why not look into this? Just call 855-90-PSALM. That's 855-90-PSALM. 855-90-PSALM.
FBI Director Christopher Wray says the agency has made changes to address deficiencies in its handling of information before the deadly Parkland, Florida high school shooting.
We've changed training. We've changed policies out there. We've increased significantly the amount of resources that are out there.
Wray was speaking in a Senate Appropriations Subcommittee hearing. Nancy Pelosi remains against trying to impeach President Trump. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has the details from Washington.
During a Monday fundraising event in Chicago, the U.S. House Speaker said pursuing impeachment could hurt the Democrats in next year's elections. She says Democrats should instead be focusing on building their majority in the House, winning back the White House, and winning a Senate majority in 2020. Pelosi was the featured speaker at the 18th annual Ultimate Women's Power Lunch, which this year was a fundraiser for U.S. Representative Jan Schakowsky. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
The best sleep of my life has been since I got a MyPillow and since I got my Giza Dream sheets. I have to tell you, I've slept in some great hotels in my time, but nothing like these Giza Dreams sheets. Now go to MyPillow.com, click on the Giza Dreams sheets special. You'll find out all about them and use my promo code USA to get 30% off and free shipping. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the Giza Dreams sheets special, use my promo code USA.
First Lady Melania Trump is marking the first anniversary of her Be Best initiative.
It continues to have one goal, which is to educate children and parents about the issues they face.
Speaking at the White House, the First Lady says a fast-paced, ever-changing world can make children less prepared for the challenges ahead. Voters in Denver, Colorado on Tuesday will decide whether to become the first city in the United States to decriminalize the use of magic mushrooms. The measure would make the personal use and possession of the mushrooms by those over 21 years of age or older in Denver the lowest law enforcement priority. That's according to the measure's language. Fox News medical contributor Dr. Mark Siegel on mushrooms.
It's Schedule 1 under the DEA, which means that it's believed to have no medicinal value. It can help you medically. Well, you know what we've been learning in the last few years? Medical marijuana has a use. Guess what else has a use?
68751. Call now, 800-246-8751. Or go online to balanceofnature.com.
Use promo code USA.
Confidence in the U.S. job market remains high. USA Radio's Doug Christian reports.
The government jobs report for October shows the U.S. economy rebounding strongly, despite several massive hurricanes. The unemployment rate is down now to 4.1%, the lowest level since 2000. Confidence in the job market has risen to a new high. Rasmussen reports that 39% of American adults believe the job market is better than it was a year ago. That's up from 35% in May, and the highest level of confidence in regular surveying since early 2010. Doug Christian, Washington.
60% of voters nationwide said Alabama Republican Senate candidate Roy Moore should withdraw his name from the election set for December 12th due to the sexual allegations against him, according to a new Political Morning Consult poll released earlier today. Only 16% said Moore should continue his campaign, with 24% undecided. The poll was conducted between November 9th and 11th, and it's unclear how many people were actually from the state of Alabama. You're listening to USA Radio News.
From the studio that brought you Miracles from Heaven and Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs comes the star.
That light, that's the star. This is where it's been leading me.
We've come to honor the new king.
What's his name?
His name is Jesus.
Experience the family event of the holiday season.
Do you guys like frankincense? I never know what to get.
The Star. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. In theaters November 17th. For tickets and showtimes, go to thestarmovie.com.
And recapping our top story today, Attorney General Jeff Sessions was questioned on a March 2016 meeting that he had with former campaign advisor George Papadopoulos.
I did not recall this event, which occurred 18 months before my testimony of a few weeks ago. And I would gladly have reported it had I remembered it.
The Justice Department has someone else they may be investigating. USA Radio's Doug Christian has a story.
The Justice Department says that prosecutors are examining whether a special counsel should be appointed to investigate donations to the Clinton Foundation that were tied to a 2010 decision by the Obama administration to approve the sale of uranium to a Russian nuclear agency. The Justice Department traditionally operates largely independently of political influence on cases related to the president's opponents. This announcement largely upends that tradition, as President Trump has pledged to investigate Hillary Clinton should he be elected president. Doug Christian, Washington.
According to a Pew poll, 40% of millennials are okay with censoring speech if the comment is offensive to a minority. CBS This Morning sat down with a group of millennials and asked them if they're overly sensitive and need praise.
I think that a lot of what we do isn't respected. You know, I think that there's a disconnect with previous generations and us, that there's not a respect for the skill that we do on a regular basis that they can't.
Doing a job doesn't necessarily deserve a pat on the back. I mean, you have a job to do and you did it.
You're listening to USA Radio News. My name is Tim Berg.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hunt and Hunterdon every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hunt and Hunterdon provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
Hi, I'm Jeannie Murphy, host of Talented People Radio, produced by Mariah Media. Our show is fun, and we specialize on interviewing some of the most awesome people from around the world. Tune in and watch our live stream on Facebook, and don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel so that you can watch past episodes. Talented People airs every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Join us for some fun.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Teachable Moments of Business. I'm Vicki Lynn Morgan, your host for today, and my microphone's not working very well, I'm afraid. I'm so pleased that you're listening today or watching. This program does appear on Teachable Moments in Business on Facebook, and it's also archived at the Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce website, so you can always hear this program again. If you've listened to our programs in the past, I try to get as many people on for to be interviewed as possible from various kinds of industries. And today I have Casey Gabriel, who's the owner of Speech Language Evaluation and Teletherapy. And I think you're going to find this program to be really interesting because she's going to share with us the kinds of services that she offers. And it may very well be that you may know someone that could use her services but don't know where to turn. And Casey's the person that you're going to want to talk to. So before we get into this program, Hi, Casey.
Hello.
How glad you'll have to excuse me. I can't seem to get the split screen working, and I want you to be able to see her. So I'll be talking to her with my back to you, but I think that's okay. She's more important than my face, I guess you could say. So we'll hear a word from one of our sponsors, and then I'll be back to share some information. Well, she's going to share information about her business, and have a pencil and paper handy because we're going to be giving you websites, email addresses and telephone numbers that you can use to get in contact with Casey. So here we go with a word from one of our sponsors, and we'll be on.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
So you're listening to Teachable Moments in Business. I'm Vicki Lynn Morgan, your host for today. And I ought to have a hand microphone because this is not working very well. But I'd like you to meet Casey Gabriel, who's the owner of Speech Language Evaluations and Teletherapy. So, Casey, welcome to Teachable Moments.
Thank you for having me, Vicki.
And it's great to have you. And by the way, the speaker's working fine.
Oh, good. Okay.
So we're on here so far, so good.
Perfect.
So she has – you live in – you're based in Hunterdon County, are you?
Yes, I'm based in Hunterdon County, Alexandria Township.
You are, okay.
Yes.
Well, you are a highly accomplished speech language pathologist, and I took a look at her website, which has led to a whole bunch of questions that I have. And so what I'd like to do is, during this program, obviously we need to find out about our guests and find out how we can get in touch with them. We want to give people reasons to want to get in touch with you.
Sure.
And by the same token, if there are techniques and strategies that you've used to attract your target audience, let's share that if we can, because when it comes to Teachable Moments in Business, I'm looking for ideas and suggestions that people can use for their own respective businesses, and they don't have to be in your line of in your industry.
Mm-hmm.
So many of the things that we learn about marketing and selling skills apply to any industry. You just manipulate that information to suit the situation. So
sure.
I would like to ask you to share with us what exactly is a speech language pathologist, and I know you just share with me all of the. You've been in school a lot, haven't you?
Yes, I'm a lifetime learner, so yeah. I never stop learning, but I think I'm done with the formal aspect of it.
Yeah.
But yes, many years to become a speech-language pathologist.
What took you in this direction? I guess that's one of the first questions I have.
Yes, everybody always asks me that. I did not start out in speech-language pathology. I wasn't a five-year-old that said, I want to be a speech pathologist one day. I started out in a different field, and I found that that wasn't a great fit for me. And my grandmother was a physical therapist, and she said, why don't you come along with me to the rehab and see what that's all about? And so as we sat in the therapy room in the gym, there were many different disciplines going on at one time. There's physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy. And it was really the speech therapist that resonated with me, what she was doing with the patients. And I had never thought before about losing your ability to communicate. And so some of the patients that she was seeing were patients that had stroke. They had had brain injuries from a car accident. They had progressive neurological diseases. And I just had never thought before about what it would be like not to say hello to somebody that you love or I love you. And that really resonated with me and started me down this path of schooling to become a speech language pathologist.
Well, what's interesting to me, what you just told me now really clarifies the areas that you're capable of helping people in. Because when I think of somebody who's has issues with speech, I think of little kids.
Yes.
But not necessarily adults. But you,
yes.
You mentioned all adults at this
point. I did.
Well,
yes.
For the most part. You know.
Yes, and May is actually Better Speech and Hearing Month, and what we focus on is that speech, language, and cognitive disorders can occur throughout the lifespan.
Right.
So you may see from birth an infant that has trouble latching on or has feeding issues all the way to end of life, where we're talking about feeding for an end-of-life situation, or we're talking about cognition and language or speech in that way. Speech-language pathologists do many different things within the field, feeding, cognition, language, speech, voice. There's so many things that you can do, but not everybody can do it all. Right. So it's important to find somebody that specializes in the area that you're looking for treatment.
Right. Boy, you have just opened up my eyes. Now, I was a little confused about what she does because I just never knew anybody that was served by a speech language pathologist. But now you've really opened up my mind as to a better understanding of what you do.
Yes.
So, before the program started, folks, she was sharing with me some of the terminology in her industry, and of course, I was totally unaware of those that terminology. But before we get into some of the technical things that you do, what kind of client do you specialize? Even though you have this full range of capabilities. Mm-hmm. Do you like to focus on certain types of patients?
Yes. So with children, I work with children that have articulation difficulties. That's a technical term. But those may be children that have trouble saying the S sound, the R sounds funny. Maybe they say wabbit instead of rabbit. There may be younger children that are really difficult to understand, and they have difficulties with the rules of language and their sound system. So they may not realize that you have to say certain sounds together, and so they drop those sounds, and that makes their speech sound really difficult to understand. And so I specialize in those speech sound disorders, the way that sounds are made, and also language disorders. And so that's not helping somebody speak English better. That's working with somebody to develop their vocabulary, to help them put words together, to make sentences, to learn about those different aspects of language development. And additionally, besides children, I have a passion for working with adults that have had stroke. And because of the stroke, maybe they have a loss of language, which is called aphasia. Mm-hmm. And so they may not be able to speak to you in a sentence. They may have a hard time finding the words to come up with, word-finding issues. It's at the tip of their tongue. They just don't know what it is, though.
Yeah.
It may be more severe than that. They may have difficulty understanding the input that they're receiving. So what I'm saying to you might sound like just a bunch of jumbled up symbols to them. And also dysarthria is something that I specialize in. And that is after any brain injury, whether it's a stroke or a traumatic brain injury, people, similar to how children have difficulty with sounds, people have difficulty making those sounds that they've made their whole life.
Yeah.
So their speech might be slurred, it might be slow, it might be imprecise. And those are the areas that I really enjoy working with.
I am so impressed with what you're telling me. Cause it all it really makes so much sense to me that someone like you really can help a lot of people under many different circumstances. I have a grandson who is 4 years old. He was four in January, and unfortunately, he had to move to North Carolina. I don't get to see him very often anymore.
Yeah.
But I noticed when we saw him in March that he has trouble. He doesn't know it, but he can't pronounce R.
Oh, very difficult.
His sentence structure is really good.
Mm-hmm.
He has a really good vocabulary, but he thinks he's saying R correctly,
right,
which he's not.
And that's the first part of therapy, is that the student needs, or the client needs, to understand that they are not saying it correctly. Because if you can't hear that you're saying something incorrectly, it's hard for you to fix it. So we call that auditory discrimination. And that's the first part of therapy, to get the child to hear that they're not saying it correctly, so that when they do say it the right way or the wrong way, they know which way it is.
I have a friend who was a speech therapist in elementary and preschool in Somerset County in one of the school districts.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned it to her, and I think she's the one who said to me that sometimes the R eventually comes around when they're about 7 or 8 years old. Do we wait for that, or should we be working on it?
Well, I always like to say early intervention is key.
Yeah.
And I think that, as appropriate, the sooner that you can start working on something that is an issue, the easier it is to resolve. your friend is right in the sense that we do have norms that we look at, norms for ages at which sounds are acquired, how people make those sounds. And in the school system, that is how they operate. They cannot qualify a student unless they are over that age, because then it is considered disordered. And myself, from working in the school system, I have found that that can be really challenging. You have a student that is that much older now and has habits that are harder to break. And sometimes it's more difficult to teach the sound correctly when they're older. Yeah. And so that is one of the benefits of private speech therapy that I offer, is that you can work on those sounds earlier than you would be able to in a school system, and therefore you will be able to make that sound better sooner, which is the goal.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. My other grandchild is over 3 and will be 4 in September, and he didn't talk right away.
Right.
Now he does speak, but the parents work so hard with him to pronounce his words and to use his, they often say, use your words.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I have trouble understanding them.
Yeah.
So.
Right. And those things don't always have to happen together. Sometimes you can have a late talker that just is a little bit later than the norms that are out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, they catch up. And other times you may have a late talker that is also difficult to understand. And one thing that I like to clarify to people, because I don't think people realize it, is that speech and language are two different things.
Mm-hmm.
So speech is the way that we make our sounds, the way that you're understanding my words right now. Mm-hmm. So I'm making my S sound because I'm putting my tongue behind my front teeth. Yeah. I'm making my R because my tongue is going back in my mouth.
Yeah.
I'm putting my teeth together to make TH. So that's speech. And language are the rules that we follow. Our vocabulary, how we put our sentences together, our syntax, meaning of language. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit more complicated than some people realize.
Yeah. I'm so interested in how you're explaining this to me.
you could write, there's books on it. There's textbooks on it. There's many textbooks.
Yeah, but it's more fun to talk to somebody in the real world who's had this experience. Now, let me see what our time is. I'm going to keep on going until this is too interesting to stop. But and I do have sponsors I should be. You know what? Let me go to a couple sponsors here before I go any further.
Okay.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rabcoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington, or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Oh, Thank you for listening to Teachable Moments in Business. I'm Vicki Lynn Morgan, your host for today. And I have Casey Gabrielle, who is very engaging.
Thank you.
Such an interesting thing. You know, she has a website because that's part of her marketing program.
Mm-hmm.
You connect with people, and people that know people that can perhaps give you referrals.
Sure.
That's all part of your marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And as I had said to Casey, people don't buy what a business does. They buy what the business gives them in terms of the end benefit.
Mm-hmm.
And that is always so important. So if you're taking notes on this from this program, I suggest that you talk about the end benefits. A website or a sales letter or brochure is written for the reader. It's not about the service provider. It's about the customer, mm-hmm. and what's important to them. So in communicating, you have to be able to mention something that's important to that reader. Or if you're speaking, you're speaking for the listener. So that's one thing. I critique a lot of websites, and I come away from some websites not knowing what people do, or I question whether or not they understand where I'm coming from.
Mm.
And so I like to see a statement that really expresses that knowledge that the business owner has about the problems that people have. After all, your business solves any business should exist to solve a problem.
Mm-hmm.
If the business doesn't solve a problem, you don't have a business, right?
I guess so. Yeah, yeah. That makes sense.
So that's one thing that she and I have been talking about, and that what she said in the beginning of our interview here on who she serves. Makes so much sense to me personally, because I've never really been involved with someone who does this kind of work. So I'm curious about how you find your patients, because you've mentioned quite a wonderful range of support services that you offer for people, and from, as you said, from birth to end of life.
Yes.
You have, and all the circumstances that people get into in between. Mm-hmm. So how do you find your patients?
Most of my patients come from word of mouth,
mm-hmm.
and so my reputation is important. I have a good reputation in the community, and what I'm working on now is not just the general community here in Hunterdon County, even though that's important to me, but reaching people in the state and other counties.
Mm-hmm.
So that can be a little bit more challenging, because how do you reach all of those people?
Yeah.
That's a lot of people that live
yeah.
in New Jersey. And I think before the radio show started, you mentioned, well, it might not be you that needs my service, but it might be somebody that you know
exactly.
that you can make a referral. So word of mouth is one of the ways that I am able to meet patients,
mm-hmm.
and the other is physician relationships. So doctors, pediatricians, dentists, orthodontists, those are people that I create relationships with, and they can make a recommendation if the parent has concerns about their mm-hmm. child's language development or speech development, and in addition, adults
mm-hmm.
as well, neurologists. Those are all people that I like to talk to,
yeah.
and explain to them what I can offer to patients.
Right. Well, disciplines, the professional disciplines that you've talked about is exactly what I look for. If I'm counseling somebody, first of all, many business owners don't have the luxury of being able to name the people who they want to serve.
Right.
I mean, there's people out there in the world that you have no clue mm-hmm. what their concerns are.
Mm-hmm.
But you know that they are there, and you're capable of helping them out. So being able to work through recommendations with people that know people
mm-hmm.
is so important. I usually recommend, I don't know if it would be true in your case, but I usually recommend that a business owner like yourself perhaps identify four key categories, or you might call them silos or vertical categories, of businesses that know the people that you're best suited to serve.
Mm-hmm.
So by and if you go after more than four, you're probably spreading yourself too thin.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So you what? So as you look at the patients that you've had and the connections that they have with other professionals, what would be the four top fields of professionals that you might want to reach out through?
Are you talking about physicians being
yeah.
one? So that would be
one.
My top one, I
okay.
would think. That
okay.
would be my number one. The second one would probably be home health agencies because
okay.
oftentimes people have that acute care where they're at the hospital, they've got rehab,
mm-hmm.
now they're ready to go home. They might receive home health care for just a short period of time. It
okay.
doesn't last too long.
Okay.
And then they're left with not knowing what they're going to do after
mm-hmm.
that. And some people just stop therapy, which is really bad. They,
yeah.
It's really detrimental to their healing process and their recovery. So home health would be the second one for me. The third one would be other speech therapists maybe that work in school systems. So those speech therapists, often they work during the school year and they have children on their caseload that could use therapy over the summertime. And they don't
right.
get that because the school doesn't provide it. And so those children may slide back on
mm-hmm.
the progress that they made. And that's frustrating to the therapist. That's frustrating to the parents. And that's frustrating to the student.
Oh, I'm sure.
So,
very, yeah.
Yes. And the fourth one, that's harder for me to say. I like to talk to people in general. So
mm-hmm.
maybe if it's not a specific area like physicians, home health, teachers, and therapists, I like to talk to just regular people because
yeah.
they might know somebody that
exactly.
needs therapy
yeah.
or maybe they do have a grandchild that needs therapy or the therapy that they're getting isn't working or they've,
right.
you know, it could be many different things.
Yeah.
And then those people know other people.
Exactly. So I like your thinking on this. Even with the medical profession, what I typically talk about is the horizontal plane represents anybody who knows somebody.
Sure.
And then the verticals represent the medical people, the home health care, the teachers, and that miscellaneous
mm-hmm.
column, so to speak. The miscellaneous could be just going to networking events, for
right.
example, or the Chambers of Commerce. I think you joined the Chamber, didn't you?
I am a member of the Chamber.
Yeah, see, so that definitely falls into that fourth category. But you could take the, let's say, the medical profession.
Mm-hmm.
You could make that a horizontal. And then in that, you mentioned several different types of medical practices that could become your target as well.
Right.
So, but the good news about what you, about this discussion and what you can do is the fact that I think it's pretty easy to figure out who the people are that fall in those verticals.
Right.
There are medical trade associations or professional associations. There may be directories online of the doctors in a certain
mm-hmm.
regions or the state who have those practices.
Right.
So it's pretty easy to figure out who those people are. You have that. At least that's a luxury in a way.
Sure.
Because there are people that have products and services that they – it's very hard for them to figure out how they're going to reach their target. I think you have avenues that you can definitely pursue.
Right.
But in each one of those verticals, you would have a message that would be appropriate for those people to become your word of mouth
mm-hmm.
or your unpaid salespeople, basically.
Yes.
But you would have a message for them that would resonate. Because I think that I think as a professional – in working through other professionals to reach your target,
mm-hmm.
you want to help them become heroes to the target.
Mm-hmm.
In other words,
sure.
if they recommend to one of their patients that you can help out, that makes them look terrific,
right?
And it makes their patients happy campers too,
right?
You know, so it's really a collaboration. It's called in marketing. We might call it fusion marketing.
Okay.
So you're collaborating with other professionals who are not in competition with you. It's a really a collaborative thing where you know one can help the other. Or you might even meet with a patient who has the need of one of these other professionals, whether it's home health care or
mm-hmm.
or the teachers or people
yep.
in the school district.
Right. And as a therapist, if you're a good therapist, you always keep an open mind as to what your patient needs. So I oftentimes have had it work that way where you're working with somebody
right.
and maybe you need to make a referral to a psychologist or a social worker, or maybe you need to make a referral to a neurologist
yeah.
or maybe back to the family physician
yeah.
in those cases. And that's really important to have that collaboration of care to work towards the patient's end goal.
Yeah, and that's a word that I've heard more in recent years. In fact, I even went to a Hunter and Chamber women's event. I went this year, but I went a couple of times. I've been there a number of times. Mm-hmm. And there was an attorney that talked about collaborative work with doctors and families and more professions that work together mm-hmm. to serve a client. I mean, if you were to go to a BNI networking event.
I've been to one.
Yeah, they call them power teams.
Yes. It's a very interesting dynamic. I was shocked at the energy in the room that all of these people had it so early in the morning.
Yeah.
and they got right to the point.
Yes, they do.
And very interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. I was a member of a BNI for about a year, and it's a very demanding situation. I became, in fact, toward the, I think, the last 3 months of my year's tenure with them, I decided not to continue, but I mm-hmm. became the education coordinator, I think it was called, something on that order, and you were supposed to talk, I was supposed to talk for about 3 minutes or something.
Yeah.
I ended up with 10.
Oh, gosh.
And before every meeting, that's once a week, I came up with a handout and something to share with the people that were in that group.
Yeah.
And I learned a lot. I learned, one of the quotes from Ivan Meisner is not who you know or what you know, it's who knows you.
Oh, that makes sense.
And it makes a lot of sense.
It really does.
So that was one that came out of it. But as a result of teaching, of being that coordinator, I ended up teaching a class in networking skills at Raritan College for the SBDC.
All that.
So,
yeah.
You know, but as you said, you're a lifelong learner. I am too.
And
you have to be because business is changing at such a rapid pace today that it's hard to keep up.
Absolutely.
I'm going to go to a couple of our sponsors, because I want to ask you some more questions about about what you do and the strategies that, and the names of those services that you provide.
Okay.
So let's go to a couple of our sponsors, and I'll be right back.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterdon Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Hi, I'm Vicki Lynn Morgan, and the name of my business is Rustmore Mentoring Group. I hope you're enjoying this program with Casey Gabriel. This has been a fascinating talk, and she has shared an awful lot of important information to us that really applies to people of all ages, from young children up until the later years, because there's so many circumstances that that people get into not of their own doing. Mm-hmm. It happens, and sometimes we need somebody to help out for communication and ability to share, you know, to think and to speak properly. So I'm so glad you're here.
Okay.
Let's see. One of the things that when I read your I actually downloaded it off of your website.
Oh, my. Okay.
You do it said that teletherapy is an effective method of high-quality speech, language, and cognition services. That obviously stuck out. I put this on the – made it bold print. And then also you do evaluations in the teletherapy and telehealth.
Mm-hmm.
So just start talking about these things.
Okay.
See where we go with this conversation.
So I'll start with evaluations. Okay. And oftentimes that is the first step for somebody to receive therapy, because I don't know what's wrong if I don't investigate it.
Right.
So you might be able to tell me, oh, is ours sound funny, or I have trouble thinking of the word when I want to use it. But there might be other things going on in addition to that, or we want to see how severe that is.
Yeah.
And so an evaluation is often necessary, not required if you see a private therapist and do not go through insurance. But it gives a very good idea of your current state of communication, language, cognition. And so for children, I would often do a formal and an informal evaluation. And the informal part would be just to have a conversation with the child about some of their favorite things. Maybe they went to see a movie recently and they want to tell me all about it.
Yeah.
And so I take inventory of the sounds that they're using, how many words in a sentence they're using. Are they using complete sentences? Are they using a lot of filler words? I look at a lot of different things.
Yeah.
And I analyze that. And then I also use a formal test that is standardized on a population that is similar to the student or the child. And that looks at every single sound in English. And it looks at it in isolation by itself.
Mm-hmm.
It looks at it in words and different places in the words. Some people might not realize that if an S is at the beginning of the word, it may be easy for a child to make. But if it's in the middle or at the end, it may sound completely different. Mm-hmm. So we call that co-articulation, the way that the mouth moves to make different sounds. And I would also do a language evaluation, which is a similar process. It looks at vocabulary. It looks at following directions, concepts, sentences.
Yeah.
It may look at word classes. There are many different things that we can look at depending on what you would come to me with your concern.
Mm-hmm.
So I would tailor the evaluation to the concerns that you have. And in adults, it's a little bit different. There are standardized tests that are specific to maybe the problem that you're having. If you've had a brain injury, if you've had a stroke, your experience in aphasia, there are tests that are tailored to that. But with adults, I really think that it's important that you look at what do they want to get back to doing. What are the three most functional goals that you want to get back to doing? Because adults want to get back to life. You know, maybe they were the CEO of a company and they want to get back to reading the paper in the morning. Or maybe it's something as simple as being able to say a couple of phrases that they often say during their day, but they're struggling with. And so I take into account the formalized testing to just give me a good idea of the information. But then I also like to talk to the patient and the family to see what their specific needs and goals are.
Yeah.
And then I put all of that into a report, a written report that you can take to your physician. You can have for future reference to see how we've progressed. And we use that information later down the line to judge progress.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe our goals change. Maybe they stay the same. And so that's where it's really helpful to have evaluations. And like I said, they're not necessary for private therapy. But if you go through therapy through insurance, oftentimes insurance requires evaluations, and they base the number of sessions and the frequency on that information.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is a benefit of private pay. And a lot of people get scared off when they hear private pay because they assume that they have insurance and insurance will pay for these things. But people don't realize that insurance has caps. So a cap on speech therapy may be 30 visits a year.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you make those 30 visits, you don't have any more benefit left. And God forbid something else happens or, you know, you need more than that.
Yeah.
And insurance companies put limits on the things that you can work on. We talked earlier about the student that's not 7 years old yet, but their R is so atrocious that they cannot be understood.
Right.
And so there are benefits to private therapy because of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so in addition to evaluations, the teletherapy part is the therapy delivery part. And so that's the what you probably commonly think of a speech therapist working with a student to make their sound sound better. Mm-hmm. But the mode of delivery that I specialize in is over the computer. And people might wonder how that happens. Mm-hmm. But if you know what Skype is like or FaceTime, it's similar to that. However, it is over a HIPAA-compliant platform that is specially made for this type of therapy. So there are developers out there that have developed platforms because they see the need for people to get therapy in this way. And teletherapy may be good for people that have transportation issues preventing them from getting to a brick-and-mortar location. And I have seen that in the past from working with adults in rehab. Oftentimes they are prisoners in their house because they are relying on somebody else to give them transportation, and that person may not always be available or reliable, and they miss out on therapy time, and that's very detrimental to their recovery. It may also be good for a parent that has multiple children, and it's easier to have your child sitting in front of the computer in your house, in your home, where you can listen to what's going on and them receive that speech therapy in their natural environment to be able to carry over those skills than to go to a brick and mortar location yeah. where the environment is unfamiliar to the child. And sometimes you might not be able to sit in on the session in those places. I have found that because teletherapy is in the home, mm-hmm. it's live video, there's sound,
yeah.
that it has been more effective because of those carryover skills that are available in that setting.
That sounds, you know, as you're going, as you're explaining these things with, especially with the children, I would imagine their self-esteem and their confidence must be greatly enhanced.
Oh, sure. Well, we know that kids love technology.
Yes,
in this day and age.
Yeah, they do.
And so I've seen a lot of articles about reducing screen time and you shouldn't have screen time before this age. And I don't want people to think about teletherapy. And we talked before the show, the word teletherapy comes from telemedicine. And people may have heard that term. It's the delivery of a service over the computer, mm-hmm. over a medium of a phone, a computer, okay. something like that, over the internet. So it allows the patient and the provider to see each other, to communicate in real time. However, I'm not in the same room as you.
Right.
But it's the same high quality therapy or right. service that would otherwise be delivered. And so that's where we've seen the benefit, is that we're able to reach these people that we otherwise.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The Dow Jones Industrial Average has been down over 500 points this morning as China's retaliating with tariffs of its own on U.S. goods after President Trump increased tariffs on $200 billion worth of Chinese goods on Friday. Now the Chinese say they're going to start setting tariffs of between 5% and 25% on $60 billion worth of U.S. goods, effective the 1st of June. While many lawmakers, including even Republicans, are urging the president to change course with the tariffs, his top economic advisor, Larry Kudlow, says,
"The tariffs are part of negotiations, and they show that we do mean business, and we will take action."
Kudlow was speaking on Fox News Sunday. The Supreme Court's ruling that iPhone users can sue Apple over App Store prices. And this is USA Radio News.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities. Or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Get a $100 travel reward credit with a full synthetic oil change through October 31st, 2019. Terms apply. Visit Pennzoil.com/travel on.
Oh my gut. We need to talk about something. Constipation, abdominal pain, and bloating. You tell yourself, it's not that bad. You take laxatives and modify your diet and exercise routine. But thinking about it all the time is frustrating. This doesn't have to define you. If your constipation comes back again and again and you don't know why, then it may be time to seek help. Go to ohmygut.info where you can learn more about your symptoms and get to know your gut. That's ohmygut.info. ohmygut.info.
Legendary singer, actress, and animal rights activist Doris Day has died at 97. The Doris Day Animal Foundation confirming she passed away.